And we're off and running. This is the Super Serious Sports Show from Phoenix, Arizona. Jeff Rich and Jen Rich in the CentralCityRadio.com studios, ready to talk about another week of sports here in the Valley of the Sun. First, I must point out, the week ahead looks hazy. Looks like it's going to get hot. We'll probably get those monsoons. Maybe we'll get some rain with them. Probably not, because though monsoon season starts in the month of June, it really doesn't work out that way that you can set your watch by the beginning of monsoon season here, Jen.
So in previous years, up until about 5 years ago, they always just kind of went by dew point. When we got to three straight days of the dew point, and that's how much water is in the air. When we got to three straight days of the dew point being at 55 below, that's when monsoon season started. At some point, they just decided it starts June 15th. So it just starts June 15th. But anyone who lives in Phoenix knows that nothing's going to happen for 2 weeks. We might have some dust. In 2 weeks, the cicadas, they're going to emerge. And they're going to start screaming. They're going to start screaming their damn little heads off when that rain. But it's not usually until like the middle of July before anything happens. So we still got a good solid 3 to 4 weeks before we see any rain in the Valley of the Sun.
Now, neither you or I are from here originally, but we've both got 10 plus years on the resume. How cute is it when your friends from the Midwest talk about, oh no, it's the year of the cicada?
So it's funny you should mention that, Jeff, because I was going to kind of get on them about the cicadas, because we get them every year here in Phoenix. We don't get a reprieve. Every single year, those damn things are out there screaming their stupid heads off. But what you got to remember here, Jeff, is we've got a nice little hardy handful, like what our environment can handle. You know, what's enough to do its thing, reproduce, what's enough to be food for all the little critters. They are getting wads of cicadas that are so large, they're confusing them for storms on radar. That's how thick they are. And you know what else? Bear down for this one. You know what else I learned during this whole debacle is cicadas consume in a lot of water. They're pretty much just chomping on trees all day and getting like moisture. That water's got to go somewhere. They're much like humans. That water has to go somewhere. They could actually pee on you. Like, if you are in parts of the country right now that are getting giant wads of cicadas, and you're like, oh, it's drizzling a little, you're probably just being peed on by a wad of cicadas.
That's very comforting.
Isn't it?
I love opening the show with meteorology, biology, a little mixture of meteor biology, and it's great.
I got all the random bases covered except for sports, and that's where you fit in.
Well, we should have mentioned that the Phoenix Suns, Suns in four, by the way. They swept the Denver Nuggets. And
Quick work of the Nuggets.
As good as Denver was supposed to be, and as good as you could see that they were on, you know, that they could be as assembled with Aaron Gordon and Doc Rivers, Austin Rivers, you know, as decently as you could see them piecemeal together versus, you know, what they were with Murray. Because Murray and Jokic just complemented each other so well. And we had, you know, we haven't seen Murray in a couple of months, you know, due to injury. That derailed their season for sure, just as much as losing Jokic would have.
Well, it didn't derail it enough where they, like, plummeted and didn't make it. They still made the playoffs. In fact, I think one of the stats was they did actually improve on one of their stats without him.
They beat a
really doom and gloom, had they anticipated.
They beat a really good Portland team to set themselves up to play the Suns. The Suns, I think, had a little bit of an advantage in that first round, being able to condition themselves for the playoffs by taking the Lakers down in six games. I mean, this is crazy. They're 8-2 in the playoffs. They were 8-0 in the bubble last year. They were fantastic in the regular season. It was just like something clicked. And that, you know, they're giving James Jones a lot of credit. I would give Monty Williams a lot of credit. I would give Chris Paul a lot of credit. And I would give the bromance between Monty Williams and Chris Paul. It's not Turk and JD or anything like that, for those of you that watch Scrubs out there. But I think that the sum of their parts is greater than, the sum of the two of them is greater than their equal parts separately.
Yeah. A lot of sharing going on that team. It's not just one name. It's a bunch of names contributing in very different ways.
Well, I love Mikal Bridges. I think that, you know, he's got the heart of a champion. I think that he's always got his head up. He looks like he just enjoys playing basketball. Yeah, I don't say that about every professional athlete, but Mikal Bridges on the defensive end of the floor, that's why they beat the Lakers. Because Mikal Bridges and Jaden Crowder. I'm not a big fan of Jay Crowder. I've now had him on my team twice as I've transitioned from the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Was he on the championship Cavs?
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
He came back as part of the Kyrie Irving trade to the Boston Celtics, where Cleveland got back Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, Ante Šišek, and a draft pick, which they turned into Colin Sexton, which I think is the only piece that's that's still there with Cleveland. But James Jones was part of the championship team in Cleveland. If that's what you were asking.
No, I was gonna make a joke about at least he wore a shirt regularly. But it doesn't really matter if he was on the championship team or not. Just as long as he had a shirt on, we're winning.
Well, the game that you remember, it was early on. It was the first year that LeBron James had returned to the Cavaliers, and they just traded for Kevin Love. And
the first year after he won his 7, 8, or 9 titles in Miami that he said he was going to win.
Well, he lost his last.
Those
year
years
there.
Went fast.
Yes, yeah, so somebody said that Duncan went up to him. The Cavaliers got swept out of the playoffs by Duncan in 2007. But I was reading that. I actually watched a video of Tim Duncan talking to LeBron, right after, Spurs 4, Cavs 0. He's like, I'm glad we got this one. He's like, this league belongs to you now. And somebody's like, oh, LeBron got his vengeance. Yeah, he played Duncan 3 times, and he won the 1 time with the super team assembled around him. And it was only because Ray Allen hit that 3-pointer to send them to overtime. Otherwise, it's Spurs and 6 again, rather than Heat and 7, Spurs and 6. And
right.
13 and 14. So yeah, it was after he'd failed to win more than 2 titles in 4 years with the Miami Heat that LeBron returned to Cleveland and K-Love was there and it's weird. I've had so much more fun watching the Suns do this organically. That's all I ever wanted from Cleveland. When LeBron walked, fine, let's do this. Let's start over. And the thing was torn down to shreds. They got lucky to take on Baron Davis's salary, did Cleveland, in order to acquire the pick that ended up being Kyrie Irving in that draft, because their own pick was only the 4th, which they used on Tristan Thompson, and he had a brilliant career there too. But can't get off on these Cleveland tangents too much. Sometimes it's just to relate back to the subject. The Cavs, unlike the Suns, have a title to their name because of 2016 and the chase for it. After they were just so down in the doldrums, and everybody still thinks Sarver sucks, the owner of the team. Does anybody really like the owner of their team? Do you like the owners of any of your teams?
No, not really.
I mean, you shook hands with Tom Ricketts.
I don't like the owners. I don't like most of the coaches. Admittedly, I just don't really like people in general. It doesn't really take a lot to fall onto my... don't really like you, Liz.
I went on a big tangent about Jay Crowder, but when he's on your I was trying to tell you the story about Kevin Love having his arm socket ripped out by Kelly Olynyk, and then Jay Crowder actually just caught like an elbow from J.R. Smith. That's what it was. He caught an elbow from J.R. Smith, and then he hit back, and then there were suspensions everywhere, which didn't matter for Boston because they got swept. And Cleveland had to go on through those playoffs and, just putting together taxi squads around LeBron James. And they didn't win the title that year, ultimately. Hopefully this is the year. Hopefully that bubble year was the learning experience, right?
Hopefully.
Hopefully. They've shown they're not scared of this, the spotlight that they're in. Lakers were not too big for the moment. Going up to Denver. I said Suns in five.
I did not think that they were going to sweep the Nuggets.
I mean,
Nuggets didn't look like the same team.
You get the logic. We always assume that home team's going to win game one, home team's going to win game three if the teams are capable of beating each other. Sometimes you have these crazy things that happen where you go down 0-2 on your home ice or your home floor, and then you bounce back and you take 2 from them. These series really start after 4 games if they're even series to begin with. And I just love that it was up at Ball Arena, which is no longer the Pepsi Center. And it really should just be after those last 2 games, it should be the Chris Paul Arena rather than the Ball Arena. But Suns fans showed out. There are a lot of Suns fans.
Lots of people either lived in Phoenix and moved to Denver, or maybe became Phoenix Suns fans from Denver, or half of the street traveled up there. But there was a crazy amount of Suns fans there.
It's great. It's great. You know, Chris Paul had to acknowledge it. He had his family there, too. He was primarily running up into the stands to see his family. But just a good time all around. Devin Booker is not a secret anymore. If he was going into these playoffs, he's been a terrific player for the Suns for the last couple of years. But that's just our little world here in Phoenix. There's that whole world out there that we could talk about. And we could use that, you know, that whole world to talk about hockey, because our team is... you know, our team hasn't played in a long time. It's hard to believe that we played in this season that these playoffs are still going on.
This hockey playoff seems like it is lasting literally forever.
Well, if you look at your Facebook memories, or if I look at my Facebook memories, I should say, when I look at them, I see a lot of, like, commenting on finals results.
The last week of my Facebook memories, pretty much every other day, has been... you know, I make a post at the end of every hockey season. You know, I miss hockey.
Yeah.
Like, right as it ends. Seconds after it ends. You know, they don't even have the cup out into the team they're presenting it to yet. And I'm making my comment about how I miss hockey. And it's been over this last week. So we are getting past the point where the Stanley Cup would normally be wrapping up. And no end in sight, Jeff. Going into the grueling 18 months of the playoffs.
Monday the 14th is the 2-year anniversary of the Toronto Raptors taking down Golden State to win their first and thus far only title. Again, you know, the recurring theme is that the Suns are going to win their first title. The Suns are the oldest team in town. You know, Diamondbacks got a cheap one.
They really did.
I think the Diamondbacks caught the Yankees sleeping
a little
bit.
It almost doesn't count.
I don't know about not
that
counting.
One doesn't count. It's
well,
a you know, half World Series.
If you want to put and some of Phoenix might not like hearing this right now, but if you want to put the Diamondback, you know, an asterisk by the Diamondbacks, because you had a guy like Luis Gonzalez, you had Matt Williams, you know, people that were suspect. You know, let's not put accusations or blame on anybody, but there were definitely speculations about this ball club, you know, particularly how you have a guy like Luis Gonzalez that comes out of nowhere and hits 50 home runs for the first time in his career as he's, you know, in his age 36 season. So I'm not completely sold on that title. So I'm going to look at this one as the
Can
first
we put
one.
Them with the Dodgers half season World Series? It'll just be like a little group of half series, half World Series wins.
The Hall of Asterisks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Houston.
Throw the Astros in there, too.
So you'd have to put the Lightning in?
Yeah.
Hockey had a pretty, you know, hockey had a longer playoff. It was bubbled, you know, so you eliminate the travel. I guess there's an asterisk or maybe just one of those, like, plus signs or those Jesus crosses that, some of the websites use.
You have to go down to the bottom and pull out your magnifying glass because it's, like, so small that you can't even read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to have it mean
something.
Little
cross symbol. Yeah.
Yeah. It just, not to say that it doesn't count, but.
Snowflake. We use a little snowflake signal, and it'll just be like a rare little snowflake instance.
I think that might be some type of double entendre out of you.
Me? Never. I'm like the least sarcastic, least spiteful person of all time.
Okay, so here's what's up next for the Suns. They await the winner of the Jazz Clippers series.
Yes.
I don't know who Suns fans should be rooting for. I think you just, you know, you play who you play, and you don't...
Clippers. Beat LA twice.
Beat LA again. I think that's a big theme, but, you know, also playing the number one seed. You were the 2 seed. There was one team better than you. They beat you by a game in the regular season. If you could take them out and advance to the finals, it's cool. But I probably have to agree with Jen here that you have to be wanting to beat LA. You know, I mean, just because they're the other team from LA, they're still the rival team.
Still LA.
I mean, do you think that the Red Sox fans still have something with the Mets when they come through Fenway?
Well, the Mets are harmless, but probably. Got some big attitudes out there on the East Coast.
A lot of attitude on the East Coast. Baltimore is just a terrible team. And
poor Baltimore.
But, you know, if you look at the present-day standings, the Baltimore Orioles...
Better or worse than the Diamondbacks?
I was going to say, I'm like, do you really want to get into MLB? Because the team in our backyard is playing, like, absolute garbage again.
Yeah. Again.
Again. When
are they not playing like garbage?
Well, you know, we had, what was the last losing streak? 14? Did that one go 14?
Yeah.
Like losing streak in general, not home away, but yeah, just in general. Last night's loss put them at 10 straight again. They're about to play a four set with the Giants. So I don't foresee them getting any of the next four games.
It's a matter of percentages in baseball. Their pitching is... here's the thing about the Diamondbacks. Their pitching is terrible. But their offense is also terrible. And that's a, you know, that's a tough ingredient to win games. I think that they've experienced their share of bad luck, too. You know, they forced extras the other night and, you know, couldn't come through. Couldn't come through on their home field.
So to answer your question, yeah, the Diamondbacks are actually doing worse than the Orioles at this point.
It's close. It's close. The Baltimore Orioles at about a 34% clip, and the Diamondbacks quite shy of a 31% clip. So it's bad. It's bad.
The Orioles have won two more games than the Diamondbacks have.
As we speak, you know, they could be listening to this at any point during the week. Point. Is there any reason to go to the ballpark? Unless you're there for the other team.
I was going to say, Mike, I mean, unless you already bought tickets for every day of the Cubs series? No.
You did not buy tickets for every day of that Cubs series.
I'm going to end up going on Sunday.
But you have not bought tickets.
No, not yet. I'm still arranging my plans.
So if that's where the...
I'm still deciding who gets to be lucky enough to take in Cubs Diamondbacks with me on Sunday.
Oh, most. That's most
what
excellent.
We're. Yeah, that's what we're at now. We're deciding who we want to hang out with at Cubs game.
Oh, okay. So it's not necessarily a punishment for people you don't like. I mean, I'm going Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, you're going Friday, Saturday. Yeah, Sunday is my open day that I don't have figured out yet.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
But I will be there for all three games.
Oh no! Don't make me go down to Chase Field at 1 p.m. on a Sunday. I don't know if it's living out here that's made me despise the Sunday afternoon games, or if it's just the way that the team's treated. You know, everybody gets a day off on Sunday. You're looking at a backup catcher who's usually the personal catcher for like a fourth or fifth starter. And it's just not the product. You know, the only game that's worth we're seeing on Sunday is the Sunday night baseball game. And then they ruin that by always making it Red Sox, Yankees, or what's the National League version of that, Jen?
Cubs Cards.
Yeah.
Cubs Cards, Cubs Brewers, Dodgers, Cubs Padres.
Dodgers Giants, but then you get that East Coast bias where the Dodgers Giants say, you know, oh, you know what? We could put two games on. We could show those guys at 10 o'clock. And people from the East Coast, they just love the California baseball teams that used to be in New York 70 years ago. And, you know, they're going to tune in and watch that.
No, they're not. Oh. No, they are not.
But you know what? They made that Sunday Night Baseball game an event. This is something that I've been harping on for years about the National Hockey League. Once football's over, like month of January... Take that Monday night slot. Take that Sunday night slot. Make Sunday night hockey an event. Make Monday night hockey an event. I don't know how you do it because you still have to play other games on those days. So it's not like the only thing going on, which is like a big selling point for the
Well, and
the
then
NFL.
When football season starts, you don't want to have hockey going up against Monday night football because yeah. It's going to lose already. It's already like no one's standing up against Monday night football.
Well, check this out. College football has talked about, I think it changes a little bit now. Yeah, you've heard this, that they're talking about going to 12 teams for the playoff in college football now.
I have heard it, but my brain does not process all these different brackets and scenarios and whatnots for people's playoffs or division. No, I just watch games when they happen.
Well, we get overloaded in the professional sports. We get overloaded.
I don't have time to worry about how many college football teams are going to play their playoff this year.
All right, let's think about who we care about. You know, and this is just the riches, all right? We care about Northern Illinois. I'll admit to caring somewhat about Ohio State to this day. You know, really, a lot of the MAC schools just because friends and family have attended and in some cases, you know, played a sport, even if it wasn't football, at those universities. So, you know, you want to support, you know, you want what your friends want in a lot of cases. You know, there are some butting head rivalries, but it's easiest to root for the home team because you can go to their games, and it's going to be it should be a commonality. Places like this, places like San Diego, places like Southern Florida, they struggle with that because a lot of the people in those communities aren't from those communities. So they grew up with other teams and they bring it with them. And as a result, you have a portion of the population that the home team just never has a chance with. And, you know, and for that reason, I applaud the Phoenix Suns, the Arizona Coyotes, the Sun Devils for winning me over. The Diamondbacks experience, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, the negativity to that, because you'd rather go to a game at Wrigley. I'd rather go to a game at Progressive
Field. I'd rather go to a game. Wrigley's nice, but I'd rather go to a game anywhere outside.
It's a big factor. You know, I mean, how would you feel about a split season? How would you feel about the Diamondbacks getting April and the first part of May and the back part of September, and then, you know, playing other games up in Reno or Oakland or something like that? I think a split season would work for this fan base, because when they're not turning out is when the weather is hot outside. Yes, you get to go inside, but you know, it eliminates the weather factor, and they'd never play. You'd never get a free agent sign here to play 81 home games outdoors in Phoenix, Arizona. It's not a realistic solution. So it's just the circumstance of where we are. They have, you know, the climate control. It helps the situation quite a bit, but it's not always the most ideal. It doesn't make people feel baseball. And if I'm being 100% honest, that stadium out in Glendale, well, it's well-built, you know, climate-controlled and everything else that it needs to be, in a bad location for us personally. And I would think, is it really unfair of people that live east of Central to crap all over the Glendale, you know, athletic complex solution? You know, should that have been given a chance? Or, you know, when I say it was doomed to fail from day one, am I speaking a mistruth?
I think I actually just saw last week that they're looking to develop that area out there more. I don't, some kind of water park or something.
Couple water parks going up in Glendale.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're still kind of adding around it. I mean, it's obviously doing well enough to stay afloat and still attract commercial interest around it. I personally think putting it out there, both the teams out there, was stupid. We had plenty of great spaces in Scottsdale where are now just condos or a 14th ASU campus that we didn't need. No, that location out there, we haven't been out there since they opened that 202 extension, so you don't have as much traffic going down 10. You have the southeast traffic bypassing down past Ahwatukee and out that way to Chandler Gilbert. So that might help. But no, it takes forever to get there. You can't make it for a 6:40 game if you are a common Joe who works until 5 o'clock. You're not having time to wrap up your work day and get out there.
I think it's a different story for the Cardinals. I think,
yeah, that's 10, a Sunday.
10 home dates a year, yeah. Sunday afternoon, you know, the occasional Thursday or Monday, but you are not interrupting, you know, much like the NASCAR race out of they don't call it PIR anymore.
Don't they?
It was Phoenix International Raceway. I think that it has a new name now.
Well, I think it's always Phoenix International Roadway, but it's sponsored by, like, various corporations.
Oh, no, I thought it had a completely different name. Anyway, they have weekend races out there. They, you know, the Thursday and Friday are slower days, you know, depending on whether they do the race on Saturday night or, you know, Sunday afternoon here in Phoenix. You know, you have the truck race. You know, when they do the night race, you know, trucks on Thursday, and then they do the nationwide on Friday, and then Saturday night you get the big race out there. But, you know, that doesn't really interrupt traffic flow. You know, somebody that lives in Buckeye, somebody that lives in Tonopah, you know, and these, you know, I know you're out there, West Valley. I'm not trying to disrespect you. You know, for them to have to compete with race traffic, you know, if it was happening during prime hours where you're going into the city or worse, you know, you're going from the far West Valley to the far East Valley, because you got to take the work where you can get it in some cases. I think that it causes problems, and obviously hockey's a weeknight sport, and it suffers. You know, 41 home dates a year,
It'd be nice if the NHL could just say, hey, give us Friday, Saturday home dates and put them on the road or at neutral sites the rest of the time, because it's just not happening.
There's no point. You spend over an hour getting out there. You pay $30 for parking. You don't even get there on time. You miss like the whole first period. And then you can't stay there all night. At some point, you got to make that hour drive back home. You got to be at work, school the next day. You can't just stay out in Glendale all night long.
Jen, make me a counter argument, though. What if I say that I live in Litchfield Park? Scottsdale is the same pain in my side that Glendale is for you living in, living in Phoenix.
You chose to live in the suburbs. You get what you get.
But what if they chose to live?
You chose to live in the suburbs.
I chose to live by the venues. I chose to live by the venue. It doesn't matter.
Nobody bought a house out in the West Valley because they wanted to be by the Coyotes.
All right. 20 years from now, the organization now known as the Arizona Coyotes will play their games A, exactly where they are, B, somewhere else in the valley, or C, in a completely different market altogether.
Oh, different city.
Different
city. 20 years. You think they got 20 years? I don't think they got more than 5.
I didn't think that they had 5 back in 2008. I didn't think that they had 5. When they lost to the Kings in the 2012 Western Conference Finals, I didn't know that we were going to have a 2013 Coyotes. So, I think that there is nothing but uncertainty with that program, especially the way that they've made the moves. I know that Chayka's resignation, actually firing, is egg on the face. Following up a pretty good bubble appearance, as a 12 seed, getting into that round of 16, they didn't have a great follow-up season to what they did in the bubble. So that's disappointing. And you look at it, they don't they have new leadership that they went out and got Taylor Hall and then they didn't resign
him. Nope.
So they're not going to spend money until they make money either. And I think that the Coyotes are just a venture where you definitely have to spend money to make money, because they don't have anybody to put the puck in the net.
Nope.
They have great...
It's been last year was a fluke for them as well.
They play great defensively. OEL's getting a little long in the tooth. I don't think that he's shaped up to be the... superstar that we once expected him to be. But Yotes fans are so brutal on these guys when they when they slip up just a little bit. I think that Antti Raanta played 2 games where he gave up 4 goals, and they're talking about bumping Aiden Hill up to to be the number two. They give Darcy Kuemper a hard time. Darcy Kuemper, by all consensus, is one of the best goalies in the NHL. And they give them, I think that there's a lack of respect for Arizona on the whole that, was also felt in Raleigh, North Carolina by the Hurricanes, who had a good run. They were, by the way, set down by the Tampa Bay Lightning, I think, in 6 games. Or was it a sweep? Eastern Conference hockey is like such the other side of the universe. Now we got to acquaint ourselves with Vegas. And I don't know if it's a...
We're used to Vegas, I think, at this point. We got to remember next year we got the Kraken coming, though.
Kraken are coming. But we got Vegas playing a Canadian team, playing the Montreal Canadiens for a chance to go to the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah.
They've been there. They haven't finished. They certainly have as good a shot as anybody. I mean, Tampa Bay is who I assume is going to come out of that Islander series, but the Islanders have surprised me the entire way. I've got an affinity for Vegas. I don't know if it's because hockey does work in the desert, or if it's that new shiny thing that everybody's kind of jumped on.
I was going to say, it's kind of hard to separate the Vegas hockey team specifically from Vegas. Because, everyone has, a little sweet spot for Vegas. Everyone's had their fun little runs up to Vegas. Those little getaways in Vegas. Treat myself trips to Vegas. Do you like the hockey team, or do you just like Vegas? It's like Brick from Anchorman. I love Lamp. You really love Lamp, or are you just, saying you love things that you see?
Well, do you remember, one of their... I think it was their second game. I think that they opened in Dallas, and then they came through Glendale, and then they played their home opener, 2018, the Golden Knights. Yeah.
And when they came through, they had fans. They had a lot of fans.
Yeah, because we were there.
Yeah,
we went to that game
in the Valley. Yeah, yeah. We went to the Golden Knights' second game. It was the Coyotes' home opener there, and this was a team that had fans in other arenas on day one. I mean, I kind of went in March 2020 expecting Kings Golden Knights to be mostly a Kings crowd, you know, and that's kind of what everybody assumed that the the Vegas professional franchises would be. It was just a tourist attraction for fans of visiting teams, and it was anything but that. I mean, there were Kings fans there to be noticed, but it was an overwhelming local Las Vegas crowd.
Yeah,
it's cool. I want to see that place.
Made it nice and easy to get there. It's right off the freeway. Just make a whole bunch of rights and get to the stadium, and then when you want to go leave the stadium, you just take a bunch of rights and you just get out of there. Easy peasy.
Have you driven to this arena?
I've just looked at the map enough, and we've driven around it. We were lucky enough to walk when we went to the game there, when we did actually see them play in Vegas. Yeah. We stayed at a nearby hotel and just walked over. But
Jen Rich, everybody.
You can see how easy the access was to it.
Jen Rich, everybody, your weather, traffic, sports.
All of it. No, not sports. Remember, that's the sports are the part that I don't pay attention to, remember?
Oh, we'll put you in the helicopter.
Do we have a helicopter?
We're the only ones in Phoenix that don't, if we don't.
Right? I'm like, do we have a helicopter?
It just seems like there's one flying over every 20 seconds. You know, summer on the way. We got some of the pool floats blown up. We are proud owners of the one, the only PBR bull riding float.
Right. I was going to say, I'm like, follow that up, because this isn't PBR like your grandpa's beer PBR. This is professional bull riding.
You know, my grandfather actually did drink Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Everybody's grandfather drank Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Fair enough.
it's like everybody's grandpa drank Pabst Blue Ribbon and used Werther's original caramels to cover up the smell of the Pabst Blue Ribbon that they consumed.
You just blew my mind.
So the Professional Bull Riding Association Bull Float is what you were talking about. I'm just clarifying that we were not talking about PBR, the beer.
Yeah. And what would you describe my skill set as on the bull with, that's not alive? I mean, you're just at the mercy of the water below you and the bull that's probably intended to be ridden by children and not just children at heart like myself.
No, I mean, it's a pretty big float. I feel like the bull, I've never ridden a mechanical bull, I don't think. I do not remember at any point riding a mechanical bull. If somebody wants to remind me of that, you know how to get a hold of me. But I feel like it's probably about the correct size as a regular bull. And then it's got the big inner tube around that, too. So, I mean, it's hard. It's kind of hard to get your balance on it, first and foremost, let alone stay on it when a bunch of your jerk friends are, like, trying really hard to make sure you can't stay on it.
Yeah, make sure you blow it all the way up. Highly recommend.
Yeah.
5 out of 5.
But I think you do... I think you do pretty well. I think for someone who doesn't actually have any Madison Bumgarner level of bull riding experience, I think you probably do pretty good.
Hey, let's put it out there. Well, get healthy first. You know, Mad Bum, they need you. Okay, because that team stinks. That team stinks with or without you, but at least, we get a Kettle Marte at bat. We get Carson Kelly's been playing pretty well this year. We had Eduardo Escobar actually tie a game up with 2 outs in the bottom of the ninth, and the Diamondbacks were down by 1. He actually pushed the game to extra innings, but unlike hockey, forcing extras doesn't get you an extra point in the standings.
No.
So, open invite. Madison Bumgarner, at Jeff Rich Talks on all platforms on social media, or at What's Up Riches, or either of the websites, man. It's not hard to find us. We challenge you to come by and ride the floating bull. I think that you would put us all to shame, provided that you can actually swim.
I feel like he probably owns a couple of these floating bulls himself. I mean, if you're a bull rider, wouldn't you have to own the inflatable bull for your pool?
You know, one would think.
I feel like this is probably something he already owns and probably tones his core on it on like a regular. Most athletes go to the gym or have like a Peloton or something. He probably just has his inflatable bull And that's his whole workout routine.
Yeah, he's a 3-time World Series champion. He probably, unlike us, he probably didn't have to wait for it to go on sale.
No, probably not. He probably did not wait for it to drop to $50. He probably did not wait for it to drop from the 110 that it was to, like, I think 50 or 40 when we did finally buy it.
He probably has a whole fleet of little Mason Sanders bulls.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite stories about
Mason Sanders. I never remember his fake name.
I'm glad you remember his real name.
Yeah, that's actually pretty surprising because I'm not good at remembering names.
All right, so I did tell you I had a little Cardinals for you.
Yeah. How are we going to face this up? We have a little bit of possible bird hate within the bird gang.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of out there that Larry Fitzgerald and Kyler Murray don't like each other, which is really inconvenient for the Cardinals because one of them is their starting quarterback, and one of them might be a wide receiver on the Arizona Cardinals next year. But they were spotted talking to each other at the Phoenix Suns game, which I saw with my own two eyes. I saw pictures of it with my own two eyes anyway. And I think that it's all just hogwash. I think that Kyler Murray and Larry Fitzgerald probably get along just fine, but they are different generations.
As you say, they're different generations. Everything has a tendency to be blown out of proportion. So, yeah, you have, you know, a senior player, a kind of younger player. Like, I'm sure they're going to butt heads on things at some point. I mean, every person on any working team does, whether it be sports or corporate America.
Well, I think it's how much you buy into that relationship, how much you want to be the protege, and how much you want to absorb from the mentor. I mean, we could have had a big problem with the Suns this year. You know, Booker's been the alpha for a couple of years. You know, you got DeAndre Ayton, who's hot stuff because he got drafted number one overall, and they left Luka on the table. And he doesn't like Dallas right now, apparently, either. That's that's another buddy story. But I think that as a very young man in this league, and he's a father, so he's been forced into regular adulthood a little quicker than maybe your typical 18-year-old that gets drafted out of college. But he's I think that he really minds Chris Paul. I think that Devin Booker I think that Paul's an extension of Monty on the floor, and I think the players respect the hell out of him, and I think that you could have a bad attitude and you could shun the rookies out and then they take your job and the organization kicks you to the curb. And that's what we got with Albert Pujols in Anaheim, wasn't it?
He didn't actually Dodgers, right? Did Dodgers pick him up?
Dodgers did pick him up.
Yeah.
So he had to go north on five.
That's funny.
But, you know, again, my point is that sometimes you just see everything that's put together so well, like the Phoenix Suns, have been over the last two seasons in reality. You see how well that they're put together, and you see the mess that the Diamondbacks organization is. Now, we don't want to kick Mike Hazen while he's down, if he's going to take a leave of absence from the team. You know, we respect those family issues. And there are a lot of prospects in the Diamondbacks system that are heading, but it just never seems to translate to the major league level.
Yeah.
They've got young players, they've got some exciting arms, but I mean this is an organization. It's still the same organization that squandered having Trevor Bauer and Patrick Corbin and Tyler Skaggs. You know, we held our breath forever on Archie Bradley, and he grew a nice beard, but he didn't give us many good starting outings before he just became a bullpen guy. I'm wondering if it even matters, but I'm wondering how differently this organization is looked at if they don't win in 2001. And I don't think that a 2001 World Series championship for this organization anchors them in Phoenix. I don't think that they've done anything to earn this fan base. And you could have said that about all four teams, including ASU at one point. I don't think that you hold on to the fan base and you end up with this really fickle fan base. There's only a few hangers on from the old Nash, Stoudemire, Mike D'Antoni days that are still Suns fans because you just got so frustrated with Robert Sarver. I'm shocked that back in Cleveland, that there weren't more that abandoned the Browns, and there probably were, but now you can't tell because they're all jumping back on that bandwagon. And bandwagons are good. You know, I think that I've slighted them a lot. I think that I've said that bandwagons are, you know, bad people. You know, I think I've implied that you're not a loyal person if you bandwagon. But, you know, as a fan, in this case of the Suns, I'm happy to have everybody on board. Be loud. Be proud. You know, you mentioned the other day you were walking through your office and you saw sales folds in the clothes.
Oh, yeah. All brand new clothes.
Little plastic tabs.
So, Sam, like, I'm not joining your bandwagon about being okay with bandwagoners. Like, no, you can't dislike the Suns all year long and then one day just stroll by in your brand new Suns stuff after they're doing well in the playoffs. That's not how it works.
But do you think that it really is dislike or just apathy leading up to it? It's like you don't know that they exist and then suddenly it's your favorite thing in the world.
Yeah, no, pretty sure everyone who lives in Phoenix knows who the Suns are.
Okay, so Suns awareness has...
I'm like pretty sure everyone heard, you know, what was it, two seasons ago when they had like 22 straight losses. Pretty sure everyone's aware who the Suns are. Not a new team, not a new franchise, not a new arena, nothing new. Same purple and orange that's always been around, same random gorilla mascot. Everyone knows who the Suns are.
Well, they went to I think that they got really Halloween-y for a couple of years. They just went to like a straight orange and black look, and now they've brought the purple back in. But I really think, you know, what are the Suns' colors even? It seems like it's that Rally the Valley color scheme more than it's the purple and orange that it's been.
Purple and orange.
It is purple
and orange. It's purple and orange.
And if I'm not mistaken, they're the only team in professional sports that... Where's just the purple and orange?
Yeah, professional. So Clemson is purple and orange.
Okay, we don't care about them.
But yeah, we don't care about them.
They couldn't even beat Ohio State last year.
Boo.
Are you looking forward to college football? I do want to get deeper with you on this 12 teams in the playoffs. I think that it provides an opportunity for the Northern Illinois, the Kent States, the Boise State.
Yeah, you know how well NIU fares at bowl game type of things.
We'll give this team a chance. New head coach last year. I believe that they were winless, but they had like 50 freshmen on their roster. They're going to be good, maybe not this year, but 2022 and 2023. And by then, they'll have the playoff implemented, and they'll get a shot at actually playing for the title, which none of the non-rates have really ever had.
No.
But we, you know, here in town, we hope that it's ASU. I just think that we're realists and not dreamers here in this studio at centralcityradio.com. Again, follow us on social media at Jeff Rich Talks. And what's the other one, Jen?
At Jeff Rich Talks, at What's Up Riches, at A Girl of Many Hats.
There you go. You got them.
That's all of them, right?
Yeah, you got them. So for Jen Rich. For our man Julian on the other side of the glass, putting together great shows for us each and every week. That's going to do it for us here on the Super Serious Sports Show. We'll talk to you next time.